My guest today for this podcast is someone who has been involved with some of the biggest names in NFT gaming and NFT projects, such as NBA Top Shots and CryptoKitties. Some of you might already know him. He is none other than Mac Flavel. Mac has played an instrumental role in the success of some of these big name projects, and he was the ex-founder of Dapper Labs. In this episode, he shares all the ups and downs of the last 5 years of the crypto world and everything that he is working on. He will also share about where he sees the opportunities or how he sees the industry is changing. I loved how Mac has a contrarian point of view for some of the Web3 and NFT projects. And in this episode, he explains the reasoning for his insight. Hello, innovators and explorers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 podcast. I'm your host, Sam Kamani. I am an Amazon best-selling author and a tech startup founder with two exits. These days, I work with the Moonstream team. At moonstream.to, we help Web3 games and Web3 projects increase the size of their economy. In the first 8 months of our product being live, we have done over $3 billion in transactions, with over 1 million transactions being processed every single month. And I'm here to take you on a journey to explore this land of Web3, which is filled with opportunities so you can build generational wealth. But first, let me give you a bit of a brief background about myself and all that. Last 15 years, I've been involved in tech startups. First startup was in e-commerce space, built it, and then sold that company in end of 2015. Then joined an esports startup. With that, I was based in Bay Area for a short time. Then that company got, I was their COO. Then that company got acquired in 2018. So we made software to run tournaments, like esports tournaments and all sorts of quests and things like that. And
what was that company called?
It was called Uproar, uproar.gg.
I remember.
Very similar to Battlefy. And we did also like standalone quests that single players like games can use, like so you can do your own quests and get rewarded. I mean, now getting rewarded seems so like a common sense in the Web3 era. Back then, this is 2017, and the whole blockchain space was so new. It was the first, you know, 2017-18, the first sort of the hype, or the first kind of major noise that blockchain industry created. So, and you know, I used to play in 2017 and 18, I used to play CryptoKitties. So I'm very familiar.
It made me happy. And you used the word play. You didn't use the word flip or anything. You said, I played CryptoKitties.
Oh, no. We had friends. We had like different cats and we used to like mate them. And I had the few Generation Zero cats. But you know what happened? Like after the 2018 and of course, always life has always been busy because you're in tech startups, life is going to be busy. And then over time, and I play so many different games as well, like in the Web2 games as well and stuff, because being a gamer all my life. So, and then stop playing it. And then I forgot my MetaMask key and password. And so I've lost like few cats. Like I probably had a dozen cats and half of them were like really, really, really Gen Zero, like really early stage cats, because I was such an early user of that game.
Yeah.
But it's a good lesson, because then I forgot about it. And then I changed my phone because now I'm back in New Zealand. I don't have the US number. I didn't have the phones. I didn't have anything to recover. Emails had changed. Companies had changed. And then it's completely. So I tried to log in last year, 2021, with all the hype again. And I'm like, okay, let me check it out. But then it's all gone. So
I also lost like 200 cats, but we weren't allowed to buy them for the first year. And so none of mine were like meaningful in a financial sense. They were cool gifts. They were gifts from people I liked in the community. They didn't matter much. But the one thing I didn't lose access to, praise fucking God, is my crypto funk. I still my funk.
That is amazing. That is really, really good. I didn't get into CryptoPunks, and I'm kicking myself for that. But if I had gotten into it, I would have lost probably the MetaMask. So I'm in a way happy.
It would be even worse.
It would be even worse.
Every day.
Yeah, because these were like, you know, $200 cats. And I mean, who knows? Maybe in 2021, they were a lot more, but it didn't matter. It's like a few hundred dollars here and there. It doesn't matter. It's a good learning experience. And I enjoy it, like, you know, all that. After that, I wrote books on tech startups and stuff. But then 6 months ago, I got back into Web3, or not six, eight, 9 months ago. All my friends in the tech space, they were all moving back into Web3. And I was like, okay, there's so much happening. I know the space for so long that I had to jump back into this. So I did. And I'm like so happy I did. It's like every day, so many people reach out to me, but for the podcast or something else. And I was like, no, I have to interview you because you're a veteran in my eyes, in my view, that, you know so much, like you've been through, you are not someone who's just jumped onto the bandwagon of NFTs or PFP NFTs. So that's why I wanted to really interview you, and I'm excited about. The other thing I do these days is I work for Moonstream. And so at Moonstream, we are building sort of like the building blocks for Web3 games, or sort of like a Web3 game engine. So people can just connect their front end to sort of our back end, and we build on-chain mini games, loot boxes, all those sort of things that our product allows them to sort of build. So they can just even upload in sort of a spreadsheet, Excel or Google spreadsheet, and then it will deploy all those people, whoever they want to reward, whatever they want to give out, it will create those smart contracts and do that and stuff. So we help grow economies of games. But look, it's great to have you here. So Mac, I'd love to know about your journey, about your, how did you get involved in first of all, let's start with Dapper Labs and CryptoKitties and all that. How did you get involved in all that back in the days?
Yes, in the good old days. So many years ago, I worked for my friend. I'm trying to put a heating pad on my shoulder. That's why I look like I'm putting on a bra. By the way, did you say you are based in New Zealand?
Yes, I am. I am right now in Auckland, New Zealand. So it is 10 past 11 a.m. on a Thursday. So it must be Wednesday for you. Wednesday afternoon.
Yep. Wednesday at 4. That's right. 4:15.
That means, yeah.
No. West Coast. Yeah.
Oh, West Coast.
Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, yeah. West Coast. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. 5 hours difference we've got. Yeah.
5 hours in a day.
In a day. Yeah.
So many years ago, I worked at a company called Axiom Zen. My friend Roham and his brother Sam started it. I happened to like the two of them a lot. Even before they started that business, I knew them. I helped them hire their first employees at Axiom Zen, who still works there like 10 years later, actually. He was a good friend of mine. And in the summer of 2017, you know, people talk about like DeFi summer and NFT, blah, blah, blah. But 2017 was the ICO madness. It was pure shenanigans. Liars and thieves were pretending.
It was the shitcoin frenzy. Everyone just replicating the same code, just like 9,000 plus ICOs or something, all gone to zero probably by now.
Easily over 90% have gone to zero. Closer probably to 98%. And at the time at Axiom Zen, they were like, hey, we got to figure out like this Web3 stuff matters. We've never used the word Web3 at the time. It didn't exist. But, you know, blockchain matters, crypto matters. I was like, no, it fucking doesn't. Doesn't matter at all. It's a bunch of stupid fucking mouth breathers who hate the government.
Yeah.
And it solves no problem that we have in this world, was my opinion. And Roham was like, it's cute that you have an opinion, but one, you should learn what you're talking about. And two, you should shut the fuck up and do your job. I was like, oh, okay. That's fair. So he said, make the blockchain fun. To be honest, we were exploring everything just like everybody else was. We were trying like mining property rights and real property rights and medical records and just like every version of anything you could imagine. And I was tasked outside of this initiative. Generally, I was making things that were fun. That was what I was there to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went into the woods metaphorically and I came back with three truths. Those three truths were, one, I'd always wanted to build a gardening game that had unknown outcomes. You plant seeds, you don't know what the results are. Two, I, at the time in all these consumer apps, I decided that cats were opt out, not opt in. You should not explain why you use cats in consumer apps. You should explain why you do not use cats. You should start with cats. And three, I saw those CryptoPunks and I was like, oh, that looks like Wonder Woman. And though I'm embarrassed to spend $35 on a JPEG on the internet, I will do it because this is just too fucking cool. And so I brought those three things together and I went back to work. And I was like, obviously the intersection of these three things, we should make cat fucking so that you can mine Bitcoin. And yep. Eater said to me, that literally makes no sense. But if I try and unpack what I think you're saying, we should make a new standard on the programmable world computer. And using that standard, we could have fungible tokens.
Yeah.
Non-fungible tokens. Sorry, we already had the fungible token.
Yes,
you did. He wrote the 721 standard and I said, let's make cats fuck. And it wasn't to mine Bitcoin, but we got as close as we could. And CryptoKitties and the 721 standard emerged. And that blew the fuck up. And then we did Cheese Wizards. Actually, then we raised a bunch of money. Then we did Cheese Wizards. Cheese Wizards was a total failure. But I fucking love it to this day. And they were like, what are you going to do now? You're the co-founder of Dapper Labs and you're the chief creative officer. And we got to make blockchain fun for a billion people. So now what? And I was like, I don't know. And they said, let's go talk to the basketball people. It's okay. So me and Katie went to New York. And
yeah.
I said, basketball, hello, NBA. We just pushed like $50 million in gross market volume through these pink cats, a brand that nobody had ever heard of 3 months ago. And you have LeBron James sitting on the bench. So, you know,
yes.
What the fuck are you doing? And they're like, I don't know, but we should probably deal with you. Don't we? And so then we made Top Shot. And that, you know, had its own positive effect. I eventually left Dapper, though. And so I left Dapper before Top Shot got to market. All of the brilliant success they've had with Top Shot had nothing to do with me. I sold it to the NBA, and then the rest is all them, not me.
Yeah. But man, sales is important. That's kind of what I do. I understand, because everything, all the time, you have to sell things in life. You know, you have to sell to your kids like the benefit of going to bed early or whatever you want them to do. Or, you know, sales never ends. You have to sell your vision. You have to sell to your employees why they should come and join your company, why they should build something. Sales goes on. So yeah. So tell me a bit about what are you up to now with Big Head or BigHead.club.
Yeah, Big Head Club. So I left Dapper. I went back to making video games. That's what I do when I need to collect my thoughts. And I was making some games for a while. And then I was like, God damn it. I think we should probably keep making NFTs. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to make some NFTs. And I called a friend of mine, John, who has been a friend for many years. And he said, I think I'm going to spend the year using smart contracts to try and improve artists' lives. And I said, oh, that's the same thing I'm doing, except I'm going to do it with like Grammy award winning rappers, because I had a thing lined up at the time. And he was like, oh, maybe we should like do that together. And I was like, yeah, we probably should. And so him and I started this business together. Actually, even before I called him, my sister-in-law, who I've known for a very long time because she's my sister-in-law, she heard I was starting a new business and she's been trying to like get involved with my work for a while. And she said, I heard you started some new shit. And I was like, yep. And she said, I'm fucking coming on this one. You're not starting this without me. And I was like, okay. I could definitely use the help. I could use the flavor of help that she could provide specifically. And so her and me and John started this business. And now, you know, we made a bunch of NFTs. We did Stoner Cats, which was noteworthy. And then we did Oni Ronin, which is my absolute favorite. And wasn't noteworthy enough. I'm still trying to make people aware of that one. And then we did Ghostbusters. And moving forward, we're going to do a couple things. We will keep making some NFT collections.
Yes.
I think it's important. Like, there's some very naive opinions in NFTs. There's some very young people with some very inexperienced opinions who are very loud on Twitter. And that's fine. Like, you know, Journey or whatever. The idea that people will just get it right is deeply flawed.
Yeah.
And that expectation doesn't exist in most things. NFTs are slightly more complicated because if you vote to people and say like, oh, you should buy my NFT. Okay. But if people then do and spend millions of dollars buying your NFT, I feel like you have an obligation to those people. I think that's true. I think that you absolutely have an obligation to those people. I do not think that you owe them your life. I do not think that you owe them a lot of things which they would like to take from you. There are people who would like to suck your soul because they buy your NFT. But you could have been wrong. And so then what do? You sit around fucking around thinking about like, oh, what could I do for this thing that isn't going to work? Or do you go attempt to create value again and make sure that you take everybody with you, that you bring everybody along for the ride? And so for me, that's an important thing to realize. Like, we've made three collections already. And after making three collections, I was like, oh man, we shouldn't make any more. I was like, I was just soft. I was wrong. We should totally make more. We should make more and more and more and more until we either run out of money or I've made everybody very, very, very rich because they love collecting the art. That is the only reason anybody should buy NFTs. The absolutely clear Big Head Club NFTs are not investments. Let me state for the record, these are not investments. We make art. If you like the art, buy the art. But the point is, whatever we do in the future, we will take care of the people that have already bought our NFTs. We will make sure to give them a free mint, give them a highly discounted mint, give them perks that come with those new NFTs. If you own a Big Head Club NFT, you are part of Big Head Club. And we will take care of people who are part of Big Head Club. That's just how it works. So those are the kinds of things we're doing in the future. And then the other thing is that I think is really interesting is NFT communities playing together. Like, you have a couple thousand people who own a couple thousand different collections, and they're all kind of bored, and they're all sitting in Discord yelling like, developer, when moon, developer, do something. And I think it's kind of fun. Like, what if we threw a picnic? What if all the NFT people got to come together and play together, and they could play this game? I don't know if you played this game. There's this game when I was a kid that you'd play at like school fairs and shit. And it was like, I think it was called the parachute. It was like a giant ass circular blanket. And there was balls that you could put on that blanket and everybody would wave the blanket.
Yes. 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 I have, what? But my kids.
Okay.
Right. I've seen. Yeah. Yeah.
You see them do that. So, you know, what is the NFT equivalent of that kind of thing? That's something that is interesting to me now. What happens if these communities come and play together? And in play, like just as a broad theme, the intersection between cooperation and competition is usually where a lot of fun can happen. If it's not as simple as like, we must align or I must beat you, but right now we should align so that I can beat you, or I should beat you so that later we can align, that's when it starts to become just more interesting as a game designer and a game player, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the reason why I went back into sort of gamification and the gaming industry after the esports startup got acquired is it's because I can see like a real utility coming around. And, you know, like nearly 3 billion people play games in the world. And I can see that this could lead to sort of mass adoption. I mean, I'm sure you remember when CryptoKitties was big in late 2017 or something around that, sometimes 15-20% of all the traffic on Ethereum was due to CryptoKitties.
I forgot that the number was that high, but yeah, that was our
fault. It was crazy. That so it is real. Like, you can build, real use case exists here. I don't know if any of the other use cases that are there are as strong. And people are already using it. To give you an example, like, you know, we were talking about CryptoKitties earlier before, like just when we started. And so at Moonstream, we built a game for them. This is before I joined. They built Dark Forest or something like that. And 95% of the people who held the NFTs participated in that game. And we know
it's crazy.
It is, yeah. So it's just like, it's easily possible. It's to have that level of engagement, ongoing engagement, and keep the community happy and engaged and do ongoing sort of loot boxes and all sorts of things to increase loyalty and the size of the of that sort of NFT economy or game economy or whatever you call. It's just like, you know, like talking about, is it the Oni Ronin? Yeah, it's like, it's got some of the most beautiful artwork I have seen. Because maybe it's because I'm biased, because I like sort of Japanese style artwork and the samurai and all that sort of culture side of things. But, you know, it's like, because we've been thinking of like creating like some form of like a combat game. And the beauty of Web3 is that your Ronins can participate in that sort of combat game and things like that. So you can, that's what I like about Web3 gaming, is you can take your character from one game and go to another, or go and participate in another metaverse. Or
so philosophically, deeply love that. And I think it's very promising and very exciting. And thank you for saying nice things about the Oni Ronin art. You were right. It's beautiful art. But what I've come to realize is that, well, Oni Ronin are not doodles. There's a bunch of people who fucking love doodles. I love doodles. My Twitter profile right now is my doodle. I bought it on day one. I didn't mint it because I never line up for that shit. But I just buy it like right after mints. I bought my Oni Ronin, or my doodle. It kind of looks like me. It's got a big ass head. And the big head logo is this head right beside me, this egg head.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
But my doodle is a blue egg head. I always like purple NFTs. I try and buy purple NFTs if I can. So I have a purple background doodle, the blue egg head. I love it. But the like interoperability of gaming, which is a giant premise of Web3. It's not just gaming. It's interoperability of data and value and community and gaming. But there's no world where Oni Ronin, there's almost no world where Oni Ronin and doodles get to coexist. That's a fucked up place. Like, metaverses are cool and everybody bring your own ball to the party is fun, but at some point, if you're trying to play basketball with a frisbee, it's like, oh shit, this doesn't work all that well. Yeah. And so the challenge to the interoperability, and everybody's trying to bring the Smash Brothers of NFTs, and I may not be working on something like this myself, but the challenge is, how do you do that in such a way
that it's tasteful? That's
consistency that matters. Yeah, tasteful or consistent or cohesive. And for me, the answer is probably collectible card games. CCGs are one of the few things that wrap nearly anything together in a cohesive way.
Yeah. I mean, one of that example that I saw was done well was the Under Armour shoes, Steph Curry's, you know, when he did the 3,000 three-pointers or something like that. He released, I mean, this was some time ago, a few months ago. I mean, a few months is like a few years in this industry. So basically, you could take the shoes, put them on your character in Decentraland, but then when you take them to Sandbox, they match sort of, so the stylistically, but
they were re-rendered
for that. The other way, I mean, they had three metaverses. I forgot the third one, those two and the third one. The other one I have seen the example of how it has been done is that sometimes, like, you know, you have a gun in like Counter-Strike, but then the gun is useless in another game that is all like fluffy, rainbows and unicorns or fluffy cuddly beers or something, you know, like a kid's game or something. And so what happens in cases that anyone who brings that sort of, say, let's say it's a sniper rifle, you get that banner with the sniper rifle, or you get a t-shirt for your cuddly beer with that sniper rifle printed on it. So it's like bragging rights that you earned that somewhere. So you might have a CryptoPunk t-shirt signifying that you are one of the early CryptoPunk members, and then anyone in that sort of in that universe sees and knows your,
because you recognizes.
I mean, pre-pandemic we had the I don't know, the Gucci handbag and the Rolex watch as the flex, as the to know the social status. I mean, that's what people used it for, a lot of people. And but now we are not meeting as much face-to-face over the last 2 years. So it is just the natural progression that, you know, immediately someone has the CryptoPunk NFT in their Twitter or somewhere, and they immediately know that, okay, either this person is really wealthy or is that person was really early and into Web3. So it kind of social signal.
Before I continue this conversation, I have a request for you, my dear audience member. So far, all my content is free and I'm able to do this because of your awesome support. And as a part of this support, there's only one request. That is that you go to Apple Podcasts and go and leave a rating and a review for this podcast. Now, let's get back into our conversation.
But yeah, having said this, what's the most challenging part of building something in Web3?
Regardless of what you're doing, people want to buy things in the context of an investment. You could literally start an NFT called thisisnotaninvestment.com/.ens/.nft/.com. And people are going to be like, oh, I made this investment in this NFT. Be like, no, you didn't. You did not invest in this NFT. I fucking told you it was not an investment. Not investing in this. This financially powered world where, and like, this is lots of the reasons why we love this stuff. There's this artist that went around yesterday and he wrote a tweet and he's like, ah, it's been years, but I think I might finally fuck around and try making an NFT. I need some money. I'm afraid about this. I'll give it a shot. And Fred, who's Fuck Render, bid him up to 15 ETH in 24 hours on Foundation. And then somebody else, I don't know who, took it over. I just checked. He sold it for 21 ETH. Here's a guy who was doing commissions for, it might have been a woman, I'm not sure, it's a guy. Here's a person who's doing commissions apparently for under $200 each, who just made like, you know, a year or more 80, salary.
80,000 or something, yeah.
That's a beautiful, amazing story, and it's fucking awesome, and I love it. And like, the consequence of me trying to make cats fuck my Bitcoin is a bunch of artists are getting paid for the first time in their life, or getting meaningfully paid for them. I love this. The starving artist trope is a bullshit norm that society has lorded over the most creative people in our midst. And the fucking craziest thing to me, are like, truly, what's bonkers? So right now, the two people that hate NFTs most on earth are gamers and artists. This is fucking shocking to me. This is like going to the French Protestants right before Martin Luther stabbed his fucking knife in the door. I realized they weren't actually Protestants, but they're like Catholic, not inclined, and being like, oh, this guy Martin Luther, he's going to stab the door. And then being like, no, that would be terrible. Why would you do that? It's going to create so much goodness for your trajectory as a gamer or as an artist. And for those people to be upset about this, it's quite, I mean, it's a branding marketing problem. Clearly, we're doing something fucking wrong. If those people are upset, then we're paying artists finally. Point is, I love the stories of all the artists making money. It's truly fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's not only artists. It's also lots of struggling singers, musicians, all sorts of people who are making, like, you know, you don't even need 1,000 true fans. You can have 100 true fans and you can make a decent livable wage, which you didn't used to before. So yeah, that
which is beautiful and amazing. Yeah. And I love it to death. And I hope that it is the long-term consequence of NFTs. But the flip side of that is everything that people buy,
yeah,
they want the price to go up. And that's the hardest part about what we do. If you're like, no, I tried to make an NFT a couple of months ago that the price would only go down. Like, the smart contract would literally only let you sell it for less than you bought it for. I couldn't convince anybody it was a good idea. It would be fucking hilarious. And the fact that that is just so shockingly, like, unreasonable, that people are just like, are you sick? What is wrong with you? Maybe I am, or maybe your mind is corrupted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The thing is, I can already picture like 20 influencers on TikTok pushing out your don't buy this NFT. And especially because if you say don't do it, like to kids, you know, you say don't do this, don't touch this thing. And all they want to do is touch that thing. So
power of the taboo. It's the best thing in the world. It's why you always want to fuck the one person you're not allowed to.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think it's not a bad idea for a collection. The name of a next collection, as you said, that that is a very big challenge. And the thing is that the price cannot always just go up. One day it has to. You know, it's just market movements. It's just gonna happen. Things will go up. Things will go down. It's just natural. It's like you can't expect and hold that.
It'd just be fun to talk about NFTs outside of the context of the market. Like, when I buy a video game, I don't talk about the market. When I buy a car, I don't talk about the market. When I buy beer, I don't talk about the market. When I buy art for my wall, which I am surrounded by, I don't talk about the market. I'm not talking about the resale value. I'm like, oh, I want that thing. I traded you money for that thing that you created. And that is the end of the expectation. Our relationship has now drawn to a close. Thank you for participating in this exchange of value with me. That is how we've structured most of our interactions with strangers in a commerce, in a post-commerce world.
Yeah.
And yet now we're back at this thing where everybody wants to talk about the fucking price of everything. Oh my God, who cares what the price is? Do you like what you bought or not? And the answer is that most people don't. Like, most people don't buy NFTs because they like NFTs. If you went and told somebody, I fucking guarantee you, I guarantee you, you will not make money buying this NFT. Are you going to buy it? No. Yeah. The vast majority of NFTs would stop being bought if people didn't think they were making money off of it. And that's too bad. That's disappointing. The blessing is the curse. Like in the old days of crypto, people were like, oh, that shit was only used to buy drugs. And you're like, well, yeah. I mean, you're right. Like that is what Bitcoin was used for. It was used on the Silk Road to buy illicit shit. And you could then do one of two things. You could either look at that and say, that means that this is trash and this is terrible and this is fucking awful and I'm done with this. Or you could say, that's true today. Will that continue to be true? Or are there other possible interesting applications of this big idea? Can you extrapolate an unknown future from the current data points? And we're sort of there with the like NFT purchase price of things. Honestly, if I thought NFT culture 5 years from now resembled NFT culture today, I might get out of it. This is not super fun always listening to people talk about the floor price on everything. And we're all guilty of this. I do it. Everybody else does it. Fucking the main filters on OpenSea let you check out the floor price. Like, this is the whole fucking thing. It's boring. It's boring. Go fucking to Wall Street. Go be a trader if that's like what you want to do. And again, some people do want
people that. Have become traders. That's what people have become. NFT trader was one of the highest paid profession of last year. So it has happened. Yeah.
And if we could just say, hey, self-identify if that's what you want to do and go stand in that bucket. And some of us are going to over here buy art. I have bought hundreds and hundreds of NFTs in my life. I think I've sold 3 total because I like the fucking art. I like the NFT. I buy the shit that I like. I like supporting the artist. I like owning the art. I like showing it off. I like the art. But I am a wild edge case. I'm extremely fucking strange. I might as well have purple skin compared to the vast majority of people who are like, oh, well, what do you mean? And like, you know, with CryptoKitties, you were there in the old days. As soon as it stopped being easy to make money, most people fucked off. Like 90% of our market bled out when it wasn't really, really easy to make money.
Yeah.
And I would tell people about the stories of people with tattoos and shit. People go get CryptoKitties tattoos. And those are the stories I would tell people because I wanted to believe that that was a larger part of it than it was. It wasn't. That was a small percentage of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I found out from someone at another sort of a conference or an event the guy was talking about how he's making money from breeding cats. And at that time, I didn't even know he's talking about virtual cats. He's not like, and then later on I found out and then I got interested and like, you know, I liked some of the cats were unique and you could see the sort of the uniqueness of the cat and stuff and all that. And yeah, it was interesting. But for me, I play lots of games and I need a lot more gameplay and a lot more mechanics to keep me engaged for a longer time. So there would be people like me who just got bored because there wasn't enough variety after a few months. So that's why AAA games have to keep on releasing update after update every 3 months and have events and all sorts of things to do that. And I mean, I'm sure good NFT collections do that as well. Release new games and mini games and stuff and release new, I don't know, real life events and all sorts of things and stuff. So, yeah.
You gotta be careful with all of those things. If you do all of those, then you start to define yourself in one way and not the other way. And the consumer of these products often has trouble being very multidimensional about what they're buying. Oni Ronin was an interesting lesson in this. I really feel like we have beautiful, incredible art for Oni Ronin. And I wish people would just collect it for the art. On top of the incredible art, we have amazing education experiences. We have Japanese language lessons. We have haiku classes. We have history lessons taught by university professors. We have amazing things. But if it's useful, then people don't care about the art. If it's art, then they don't care about the utility. On top of all of that, we have this like mechanic where you can send your own into the trial of ascension and you may have one of the golden 88. 1 in 100 of those has a golden samurai inside. That's really fucking neat. And when we designed the system, we tried to say, why are the reasons that people like NFTs? Let's find a way to check everybody's box. Are you here for the art? Are you here for the scratch and win? Are you here for the utility? Are you here for the community? No matter what, we are going to try and provide a 9 out of 10 experience for every single dimension. And I would argue that we did, but that it confused people. Then they're like, I don't know what to do with this. Is this an investment? No, it's not. Is this art? Well, it is, but I could do this. Is it a toy? Well, it is, but I could do this. And it's interesting how I believe that that multidimensionality made it difficult for people to process, and the cognitive overhead is not something that we're super into expending in this post-ADHD world. Other side note, I refused to call CryptoKitties a game for the first month, for the reason you described. I was like, this is a toy. It's a plaything. It's neat. You can poke at it. But it's not a game. There's no end state. I don't get to be better at it than you. You know, we can all play it together like we play with chalk. We're drawing on the sidewalk. We're not playing tag with a winner. But after like a month of trying to have that fight, and I think you can go find interviews that I was doing at the time. But just like every single person I talked to was like, oh, you invented crypto gaming. Da, 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 da. And I was like, fuck, whatever. Sure. Okay. It's a game. If it's a game, it's a terrible fucking game. It's a great toy and it's a terrible game. But okay. It just became a fight not
ticket. I work in this industry and I'll tell you, most Web3 games suck. They are really terrible. The engagement is bad. People are there for the money. A lot of like play to earn games. That's what they are. Play to earn. It's pretty much becoming like work. You have to work to earn. And that's what it's become. And everyone's in the Discord just chasing, like seeking alpha, like where's the greatest rewards happening. And as soon as another game will play it, pay a dollar more per hour, they'll just move. Everyone will move to that.
Exactly that. When you pay a dollar more an hour, and like, that's all fine, you know? Motherfuckers need to hustle. Motherfuckers need to work.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, that's all good, but it would be super cool if we could all be honest about it. It'd be super cool if we could admit that, no, you didn't build. You didn't build a great game. You created a play-to-earn scheme with some good graphics wrapped around it. Again, yeah. I'm fine with that. I think all of our lives would be easier if we just admitted where we were at and say like, oh, and I like this and I just want to keep doing more of this, or I don't like this. I want to build a really fun game on top of NFTs. Either one of those paths is super cool. It just, everybody's life would be easier if we were fucking honest with each other. Where we were at.
Most people are just pretending and they're in it just for the, I mean, like,
they're pretending they're in it for the community. The makers are pretending that they've developed a great game. Everybody's like lying on this idea that the next greater fool is going to come along.
Yes.
And what would be great is be like, oh no, there's nobody else is coming. You're fucking stuck here alone with us. And if that makes you smile, cool. We have a community. But that makes you smile, cool. You like the art. But imagine that there is no financial upside whatsoever. Would you be doing what we are doing? And like, again, if the answer is no, that's fine. I just wish that the people for whom the answer was no didn't pretend it was yes, and that not everybody was shitty to each other on the internet about it.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's true. That's very, very true. So yeah, look, that's really good. I have a question for you. Do you have are you looking for anything? Are you looking for people to participate in any of your, are you looking for team members, invest? What are you looking for? This is just for the audience.
So a couple of things. We are currently, this episode will go live when?
In four weeks time. I've recorded quite a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
4 weeks from now. Actually, the only thing we're going to launch from 4 weeks from now is there's going to be a game called Boat Game. Probably won't have been released quite yet. And Boat Game, going back to what I talked about before, is a way for NFT communities to play together. We're not making any money on Boat Game. Maybe we'll someday, but the early instances of Boat Game, we're not making any money on it. We spent way too much time and money putting this thing together. Software is hard. Games are hard, blah, blah, blah. And if you own an NFT that is a PFP that is part of a collection, and you think that your community of NFT holders is better and smarter than the other communities of NFT holders, then our Boat Game is the way to prove it. There will be prizes and the smartest teams will win. And the teams are created based on NFTs you own. So that would be my only ask, is go check out Boat Game, which will be on the Oni Ronin website.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know the Oni Ronin. I'll put the links in the description and I'll get them from you later on if I cannot, but I should be able to find them. I have been to the Oni Ronin website.
Okay. We are also launching a new website, God willing, at the end of this week. We're behind on that too. And it is truly, we're going to go from having the ugliest website in NFTs to having the most beautiful website in NFTs. Our website is a shame. And the website that's coming is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, we are also updating our website and stuff. Yep. I'll also join your Discord and stuff just to see what's happening and when you guys release and stuff, the board game. So how would it work? Sorry, I've got one more question. So how would it work? So say hypothetically, I'm part of a NFT community and we've got lots of people in a game or some sort of NFT collection. What would I share with my community?
So the way Boat Game works is it's basically a complex version of Prisoner's Dilemma. And the way the Boat Game works is always a heads up, like a one team versus one team game. And so let's say that I own Stoner Cats and you own Oni Ronin. The rules are very simple. The game is timed. Let's say it lasts for 3 days. Both teams are going to start with 10,000 gems.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do is throw gems overboard. You can throw your gems away. And the more gems you throw overboard, the faster your boat goes. So if you have zero gems, you're going to go very, 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 very fast. And if you have lots of gems, you're going to go very slow. And your goal is to go fast. So you should throw your gems away. But the problem is the prize, the percentage of the prize that you get as a player is equal to how many gems you have. So as a team, we need to throw away more gems than that team, or they will beat us. The team with the smallest pile of gems wins. But when we do win, my prize, my percentage of the winnings is determined by how many gems I have left. And so on the one hand, we're going to be like, hey, throw your gems off, throw your gems off. Sam, throw your gems off the boat because we got to go faster. And then you're going to be like, no, you fucking throw your gems off the boat. I already threw my gems off the boat. And so that intersection, the strategy of cooperation and competition. And we don't have a Discord. We want you to join for Boat Game. We want you to play this in your own Discord. We want you to go play this with your team. It will be all of the Stoner Cats holders versus all of the Underrunning holders, or all of the apes versus all of the mutant apes, or whatever those teams are.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, someone could hold one of each NFT and be communicating on both the sides and say to...
No, I wanted that to be the case. So actually, to answer your question, you could do that if you're holding them in different wallets. We only let one wallet join each team. But there's no civil resistance because this is blockchain. So yes, you could be holding, you know, like a sup duck on one side and a doodle on the other side. And you could go play both teams. Absolutely. It's worth noting that our code name for this game was Judas. This is the betrayer's game. That's why this is fun. That's why this is interesting. Because it really is just a question of who and when do you create alliances and who and when do you betray? What kind of promises do you make and do you keep your promises? Hey, I promise you I'll throw 50% of my gems over at the end of the round, but we don't want to tip off the other team. Okay, you throw your gems now. Okay, I'll throw my gems. And then it's, you know, there's this joke that says there's a bear walking through the woods and there's these two people. And
yep.
The bear comes up to the people. And the one person bends down and starts tying up his shoes. And the other guy says, you can't outrun a bear.
I just have to outrun you.
That's the fucking whole game. We've turned that joke into a very Web3 crypto native, what do you do now kind of game.
So how much of the game is on chain and how much is off chain?
It is all on, it's all NFTs. It's not all on chain. Like the actual throwing the gems over is a counter where you're just changing a status. Like a field on the NFT, essentially. We were going to have our own ERC-20 being the, but that got complicated for legal reasons that we didn't want to avoid. So you own all of these NFTs. That's how we know what team to put you on. You join the team because you're on the NFT. And the other thing that happens in this game is at the end of each round, if you lose, you're just out. If you win, you have to choose whether you're going to play again or not. And if you play again, your team splits in half and plays again. And the reason that's interesting is because now you're playing against the other Supdux holders or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if you win, that same prize pool is the same size, but now you only have to share it with half as number of people. So if you think you're going to be good at this, then you will always play to double again. If you're on the winning team, there's less people that are going to win the same prize. You're getting a bigger piece of the prize. It's very good. So all of that is on, but like the art isn't or anything. We aren't even building our own NFTs. Technically, there has to be an NFT that you use, which represents your gems. But it's not like because we're trying to sell it, we're going to make any money from it. It's a function.
Fashion project. Yes. Yep. Yep. So no, that sounds very cool. So I will definitely share the link. I'll stay in communication with you so I can put the link in just before it goes out and stuff and have your updated Oni Ronin website and all that. So look, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. If people want to follow you just personally, where can they follow you? Where with social media network are you active on, if any?
Have you heard the expression, dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have?
Yes.
So I realized, I turned 40 and I realized that most interesting people I knew were not on LinkedIn. Like,
yeah,
the most powerful, connected, interesting people I know were not on LinkedIn. So I deleted LinkedIn. I was like, oh, I'm gonna dress for the job I want, not the job I have. I'm gonna delete my LinkedIn. And yeah, I had the craziest fucking year of my life, to be honest. It worked very well. Not that those two, I should not misassociate like correlation and causation, yeah, but I had a crazy year. So I'm rambling. The answer is Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Big Ed Mac. I don't really think you should follow me on Twitter. The step recent too. But if you were compelled to, you could try that.
Yep. No, that's great. Look, best of luck for Oni Ronin and the board game and all the things you guys are doing at Big Head Club. It's super interesting.
Thank you for your time, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thanks. See ya. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. Share this podcast episode with a friend who you think should know and learn more about Web3. As I mentioned before, I work for Moonstream, wherever technology makes Web3-based games more successful. So if you are building a blockchain-based game or if your game has an NFT element, then reach out to me. My DMs are open on LinkedIn, Twitter, and my podcast website, web3pod.xyz or web3pod.xyz. Thank you once again and have a fantastic day.